Hello. Today's scripture reading will be from Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 to 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, the Amorites who lived in the... Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. This is the word of the Lord.
Can I please invite you to stand for the gospel reading? The gospel reading this evening is taken from the book of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. And we say, glory to Christ, our Savior. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Please be seated. Good evening, church. We have come into the very last sermon of the book of Joshua. I named this Joshua Conclusion Part 2 because Xiu Ping actually did the first conclusion. This is the second conclusion, as all great preachers have. Now, for a building to be secure for its occupants and not to collapse, the foundations need to be very sturdy, yes? We need to have firm foundations. Now, Jesus told a parable about building a house on a rock, a strong foundation. If we want our house to remain and not be swept away with the storm and tides, we cannot build on shifting sand. We need strong foundations. But it's not foundation that's just to be deep or firm. It also, my friends, it also needs to be level. And for that, we need a plumb line. The plumb line is a string with a weight at the bottom. It uses gravity to get an accurate vertical line so that you can use it for reference to ensure the alignment of the building or the alignment for anything. A foundation wall that is not level, you can imagine with me, it will impact the structural integrity of the entire house. If you keep building on a foundation that is off-center, guess what? Sooner or later, the whole building will come crashing down. In Amos 6 and 7, God denounces Israel. He's seen with a plumb line in the midst of Israel, accusing them of deviating from God's purposes for them. They had ignored justice and righteousness. They lived lavishly while oppressing the poor and the needy, and eventually they were punished for it. The Lord is to be our plumb line to take reference from so that our foundations can be strong. In Joshua chapter 4, Joshua is at the end of his life. After all that has been accomplished, you would expect a glowing report from him. You would expect him to be giving high fives to his leaders, handshakes, and cheers all around. However, he does not call for a celebration. Instead, he summons the entire nation at Shechem for a confrontation. He challenges them and demands a definite decision of their allegiance to the Lord. The core of his message is in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, which says this, "Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I feel like, you know, I was thinking about this. I feel like I read through the entire book of Joshua just to come to this very verse. It's such a powerful verse where he challenges them. He says to them, do not be complacent. Do not grow entitled. Do not be careless. Make the Lord your foundation and plumb line all the days of your lives. I have 3 points. The first point is this. Joshua tells them to remember your origin story. From verse 1 all the way until verse 13, Joshua begins by recalling God's sovereign faithfulness and grace. But instead of the success of recent history, he points back to the inception of Israel. In verse 2, Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served other gods." Joshua did not go. He didn't say to them, "We have fought and we have prevailed, and from this day on we will be kings and rulers of the world," and everybody cheered. He didn't say that. He reminds them that their ancestors were not heroes. They were actually idol worshippers. And God was the one who had initiated the relationship with them. God was the one who rescued them and called them and led them. This historical prologue of their pagan roots shattered any claim of achievement and superiority. Because if God had left them there, they would not be here today. Therefore, if Israel in any way believed that they deserve to be in the land at all, Joshua was calling out their delusions. Every victory, blessing, and fulfilled promise was a product of undeserved grace from start to finish. God called Abraham. God gave Isaac to a century-old couple. God provided for them in Egypt. God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. He protected them in the wilderness. He defeated their enemies. God gave them land, cities, vineyards, and olive groves for which you did not labor. You see, Israel could not claim any credit for their relationship, for any of their success, the victories, or their very existence as a people. It was based entirely on God's favor and mercy towards them. As it was for them, it is for us, my friends. We must remember where He saved us from, where He found us, where we were picked up from. We must remember how sin had made us untouchable, unlovable, and yet God saw us, He found us, He called us. He chose us exactly in our waywardness and rebellion, and not because we were in any way worthy, wise, or winsome. Joshua was telling them, basically, remember where God has brought you out from. Don't think too highly of yourself, but be humble and fear the Lord. Because honestly, we are forgetful people. And when we forget, then we get overconfident and ahead of ourselves. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Never forget the mercy, the favor, and the grace of God upon our lives. Secondly, all in or not at all. Now, following the recap of God's radical hospitality towards us, Joshua in chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, he says this at the very center. He says, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua tells Israel, God is to be regarded with awe and honor and reverence. Israel is to fear the Lord and to serve Him sincerely and faithfully. He presents the ultimatum to them. Choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua's decision possesses three characteristics. It must be exclusive, explicit, and immediate. The decision, firstly, must be exclusive. I say again, a decision must be exclusive. Service to the one true God is as such. Whatever connection with the various gods in the Euphrates and in Egypt and Canaan, no matter how minor, was not allowed. There were various sacrifices and worship rituals, dressings, tattoos, but Israel's choice is strictly for Yahweh. And now the one who rescued Israel from the filth of idolatry now calls us to stop being mesmerized and captured by our own modern cultural idols. This could be career success, status, financial security, our talents, our relationships. You cannot worship the God who rescued and fought for you while simultaneously keeping the idols of your past around for vibes. God is not interested in being your deliverer on speed dial that you call when all other gods fail to answer. He demands to be the only God. I hear this story all the time. For example, you pour all your energy and effort into your studies or your career or your relationship. God is still in the car, but He's in the back seat. You find success, but eventually something feels off. Eventually something falls off. There's no pleasure or fulfillment. And so what do? Instead of running to God, you double down on a hobby like pickleball. You go to Bali for a week. You go to Japan for a month. You go see the Northern Lights on top of all your efforts in the search for peace, when actually the God of peace is close by to hear you cry. But you never call to Him for help, and eventually you fade away. I've heard this story countless times. It's such a typical story of the acknowledgement of God, but not the lordship of Him. This fractured loyalty, this half-hearted devotion betrays our God who has us in His heart. My friends, there's no neutral territory. You're either wholly committed to Christ or wholly committed to something else. You cannot serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. We must choose the reference point on which we will build our foundations on. James says it very clearly to those of us who want to have it all. In James chapter 4, verse 8, he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This decision also must be explicit. Joshua made his loyalty publicly very, very clear. This was not hushed whispers in a counseling session. Joshua declared his faith over the pagan practices of the Canaanites that he saw all around him. It is easy to conform, to be quiet when your faith is challenged. But when you hide your faith, you deny the power of the gospel. Our Savior did not die a public death so that we could have a private faith. Your faith cannot be a secret private confidence. It must be an open and declared allegiance. But this doesn't mean that we stand on soapboxes and tear people down. But it is being the stoic child of God that will not back down when the kingdom values are at risk. It's being the child of God that will not bend to the winds of cultural revolt. Lord Jesus is very clear in this. He says in Matthew chapter 32, verse 33, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." So this decision is exclusive, it is explicit, it is immediate. The call word of the ultimatum is this day. It's not tomorrow. It's not see how. It is now. This is a decisive choice, an immediate choice. It does not make room for any procrastination, compromise, or what ifs. Joshua draws a line. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." At the end of all his achievements, all the battles, he chooses not to fade into the night. He makes a decision for himself and his household. "We will continue to serve the Lord." This is not a retirement. This is not a ceasing of serving. It is not to pangkang and lepak. He who has the words of eternal life will continue to be followed and served actively. And Joshua will ensure that his own future generations will continue to walk in the way of God. He will continue to steer and encourage the next generation. He will set the tone. He will set the standard and the direction for his family. The future of their faith begins with a faithfulness modeled in the home. Joshua's commitment was a continued present tense action. "We will serve the Lord and keep on serving." My friends, we must make that choice and keep on making it. And thirdly, the cost of the choice. After all that Joshua says and all that Joshua has encouraged them and all that Joshua calls, the people respond very passionately. They immediately commit themselves. "Far be it," very yaya papaya, a bit, in a way. They say, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But you see, Joshua knew their pattern. He had seen it over the 40 years. He knew. So he counters that declaration of loyalty with this: "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God." It's easy to say this. It's so easy to say this, but he's saying to them, you haven't really counted the cost to your lives. Jesus issued a similar strong warning about discipleship. He says in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, "For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. Bonhoeffer summarizes the essence of Christ's summons to discipleship. He says this when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Following and serving the Lord is not merely adding Christian to your IC. It is an absolute break with the person that we used to be and the values that we used to have. The cross is the very beginning of our communion with Christ and the death of all self-righteousness and self-centeredness. It is the death of all self-preservation and self-deservation, and a declaration of the Lordship of Jesus over all of our life. Basically, Joshua was saying to them, you are so full of yourselves, bruh. And God is non-negotiable. Because He is holy and jealous, meaning He is perfect and absolutely righteous. And His holiness exposes every half-hearted attitude and compromise. He will not tolerate any rivalry, nor unfaithfulness, nor any divided loyalties. He isn't asking for your weekend devotion. He wants your Monday morning faith. To follow this God is to abandon the illusion that you can serve Him and still serve yourself. The Lord Jesus must be Lord over all of our lives, every corner and speck, every second and breath, every past hurt and future hope. If not, He is not Lord at all. So the question before us is, can we be willing to surrender it all to Him? Luke 9:23 tells us, and He said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It is such a strong verse, you know. It's such a strong calling. And yet, sometimes, people of God, we take it too lightly. So in conclusion, my friends, may we all remember that God found us in our brokenness. Oh, not yet. No need to come up yet. Oh, very kanchong. Sorry, I told them when I say in conclusion, they can come up. But this is my first conclusion. I have another three more. May we always remember that God found us in our brokenness. He accompanied us in all our struggles and was patiently waiting for us during our wilderness meanderings. He calls us to make a decisive decision. Choose this day whom you will serve. Whose house is your house? Whose house will your house be? On whose foundation will you build upon? The decision ancient Israel had is now facing us. Even though the people responded so passionately, yes, yes, we will. Not three chapters into the book of Judges, they spiral into a chaos of spiritual decay. They prove Joshua absolutely right. The people were not able to serve the Lord. The question before us is this: will you serve the gods of your past, the gods of your surrounding culture, or the gods within yourself? I say that again. Will you serve the gods of your past, the gods of your surrounding culture, or the gods within yourself? Or will you, like Joshua, take reference from the plumb line of the Lord and declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Schaeffer said this, that our choices make a difference for ourselves, for our neighbors and our families. And so the people of God must choose rightly at every point to make the choices which will have significant results. My friends, may we make a decisive decision to follow the Lord wholeheartedly and sacrificially, so that in the years to come, after having laid strong foundations, Your house will be a strong house for generations to come. And we become the strong people of God. If you didn't already know, Heartbeat turns 30 this year. The young people celebrate it, but I want to commend SJSM for keeping on building and working with the next generation. I commend the leaders of the past for encouraging them and raising leaders and inspiring workers for the kingdom of God. SJSM, let us keep on doing this for our children and our children's children. For example, we need children helpers at JC. We need mentors for our young adults. So that generationally, my friends, listen, so that generationally, this house will serve the Lord. That we will not go the way of the judges, but we will envision for them and support them and encourage them that we can all say together, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Incidentally, Heartbeat 30, the homecoming is on the 29th of November. And to the next generation, because we are all part of the next generation. But honestly, at least 45 years and below, this next generation. My encouragement is this: never take what the Lord has blessed us here for granted. We have been graced a marvelous community and facility. Our forefathers have toiled and prayed and built. And the task of this next generation is therefore to stand upon their shoulders. Their ceiling is our floor on which we must build upon. The worst thing that we can do is sit back and say, well done, and lay our heads to rest. Becoming the people of God means making a decisive decision to serve the Lord and to keep on serving Him. May the plumb line of the Lord be our guide. May we take reference from it. May it make us straight and sturdy, lasting generations upon generations. My friends, the challenge before us is this: what can we say unto the Lord? Will we say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Turn to your neighbor and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May I invite us to stand together as we close in prayer and as we respond in a song. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you, Lord. You have called us into this church. You have called us to be faithful. You saw us in our sinfulness. You saw us in our waywardness. You saw us in our imperfection, and yet you still called us and loved us. You shaped us, and you make us to be the people of this generation. Father, give us the wherewithal that in the years to come, no matter the storms that arise, no matter what destruction comes, no matter what distraction comes, we will keep our eyes firmly upon your cross. We will build firmly upon the foundation that is the rock, our Lord Jesus Christ. We will take reference from your word and you, O Lord Jesus. That at the end of the day, we can say together, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So help us, Lord. Help us more than ever before. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.